Welcome everybody to the Script Doctor Podcast. My name is David.
And my name is Casey, and we're your hosts.
And we're here because we love movies and TV shows, and frequently they are very disappointing.
So we created this podcast to discuss and try to fix them. Now I know what you're thinking. Are they real doctors?
No, we're not.
In fact, David and I have bachelor's degrees in business, and boy has that got us so far.
And you may be wondering if we're in the entertainment industry.
No, we are just two friends that are passionate about movies and TV shows and talk about how they could be better. Hi, David.
Hello, Casey.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
I watched a movie.
Did you now?
I did.
I feel like you always do for this show.
Sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a movie that you recommended we watch.
Yes.
And I have so many regrets.
We are continuing the train of vampire movies or shows this week.
How did we get on this vampire train, considering it's not Halloween?
Well, vampires are just so cool. In my book. So I have a surplus of those movies and TV shows in my mind.
Got it. This makes a lot more sense now.
Mm-hmm. Which brings us to episode 16.
Vampire Academy.
Woo woo.
Boo.
So this movie came out in 2014. I personally remember when it came out, like, I thought it was exciting. I watched it. At first I was like, okay, this is pretty interesting. And I saw that it was from a book series. So I read part of the books. I haven't finished it.
Nice.
Years ago, but
I had no idea this existed at all.
It came on Netflix like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago or like a month ago, and really? I saw it, and that's why I was like, oh yeah, and
okay.
I said, let's do it.
I forgive you, because thanks to your suggestion, we have an episode for the podcast.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks to my suggestion last week, too, you're welcome.
Anyway, we watched Vampire Academy, and it is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I don't know if you would say that.
I might.
I don't think so. You have strong opinions towards movies, so...
I'll at least say this. There is a romance that we'll talk about later and elaborate on later on when we get to it.
That makes you cringe?
Well, it is the single most uncomfortable romance I've seen on screen that I can remember. It is weird, ugh, awful, no good, very bad.
We'll get to it.
We will.
So this movie, Vampire Academy, their budget was $30 million.
Woo!
And in the box office, guess how much they made, David?
$50 million.
No, half of their budget, $15.4 million, just slightly over half. Which I found kind of surprising, only because, again, I remember when this movie came out, and I thought it was going to be a super popular movie, and seeing the numbers is like, wow.
Judging by the fact that it came out in 2014, I'm guessing that the makers of the movie like tried to jump on the book-to-movie trend, like Hunger Games, Twilight, and all that, and they caught the tail end when it became obvious to producers that it's not... like financially viable as an option for your studio. So
it's such a low budget for a movie anyway.
It really is, actually.
And the fact that they made half of that is insane. That just shows you how bad this movie is.
Yes.
It has a really interesting universe and concept. I'll give it that.
I completely agree, actually.
It's just like the acting, the way things played out, nothing always added up, they forgot things, it was just, no.
The writing is terrible, the dialogue is cringy, the performances are generally subpar, and because it is based on the book, there's deep lore into this universe, like all this information like flies in your face 1,000 miles a minute. I was so confused in the first like 5 to 10 minutes. Like, I had no idea what was going on. I told Casey the same thing. I was like, I have no idea what's going on. This felt like I was watching Rise of Skywalker. Like, everything was just happening and happening. There's no time for anything. No time to just stop, slow down, and just process and absorb.
You did guess some things, though.
I did.
Anytime we watch a movie and you guess something, I do everything in my power not to laugh.
Yeah.
And just yes, stay do. Silent.
I feel like at this point, I can like hear you silently laugh, like smile, like, oh really, David? Like I hear you like in the background being like, oh, that's interesting that you think that. It's really funny.
Either I'm just stay silent or I'm just like, just keep watching. But I feel like when I say that, that's kind of like obvious.
Actually, when you say that, it really doesn't, because that just makes me think like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I do one of those two things, but like, we'll be watching and you'll say it'll be at the beginning of the movie. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like, I guessed the villains of this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I think within the first like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, I guessed.
And then you guess like the love story.
Yes.
And then you guess something else too.
The betrayal at the end?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I was like, dang.
Yeah.
I can predict something, but normally not like that.
I used the force.
Mm, perfect.
I guess so. Yeah, like, this movie is predictable, yes. But I would also argue that's not necessarily a mark against it if those things had been constructed well. You know what I'm trying to say? Because, like, it's okay if something is predictable, as long as, like, it makes sense that things kind of arrived at that point. Mm-hmm. Look, spoiler for Star Wars, like, A New Hope. We can probably guess that, like, it's probably going to have a happy ending. And, you know, all the people on that planet are not going to get blown up by the Death Star. And that somebody's going to end up blowing up the Death Star. Probably Luke. But at the same time, though, you know, we don't fault that movie for being a bit predictable. Because it's still just so well constructed. And it's a fun time to just watch it.
Yeah. I will say with this movie, again, it's based on books. And yes. I think, I can't remember exactly how many, but it was like 3 to 5 books, basically, on this series. And I feel like they ended this film... like, they knew for a fact they were not making any more movies. Because it didn't feel like it was left on a cliffhanger.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Well, like, I guess we'll get to it when we get to it.
They left it open, I suppose, for, like, future things. But I didn't feel like it left on a cliffhanger. Just kidding, I take it back. There was an ending part where it was, like, a cliffhanger thing to, like, open it up for something. But prior to that, the other endings of everybody else that was, like, people.
Yeah, I agree.
That was, like, a solid...
Yeah, up until that scene, it felt like... like, once that scene happened, it felt like the producers were like, yeah, man, there's going to be another one of these. We're totally going to make bank. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to make another one. And then they were so wrong. So very, very wrong.
Well, let's just go ahead and jump in and
talk... Do we have to?
Yes. That's what we're here for.
Crap.
Let's jump in and talk about plot.
It's confusing.
So we'll just start by there are three different... creatures, species, if you will, in this film, besides humans.
They're basically three variations of vampires.
Yes. So you have the Moroi, which are basically literal vampires, and having royal vampires in that mix.
Vampire classic.
Yes. Then you have the Dampirs, which is half human, half vampire.
Diet vampires.
But basically, they're just stronger than human, like superhuman.
They're supposed to be.
Yeah, but they...
we'll get to that later.
Yeah. And then you have the Strigoi, which are basically the bad vampires that can go out in the sunlight, and the Moroi and the Dampirs are scared of them.
They're like vampires on crack.
Yeah.
Like vampires plus. So there's like vampires.
They're evil classic. Vampires.
They are. That's true.
So those are your three main species of vampires. We open up with Rose and Lyssa.
Two friends.
Yes. In Oregon?
I don't think it matters.
Yeah. Well, Lyssa is Moroi. Rose is Dampir. So she likes to protect Lyssa, and they had run away from the academy, and she was trying to just keep her away, and then some bigger Dampirs, older than them, showed up to take them back to school. Of course...
the academy is like Hogwarts, more or less.
Basically. That scene in the beginning when Rose... did that motorcycle, I remember you were like, oh my God, why is she doing that?
Yeah.
Because it was like, how can you... Dampirs and Moroi's quite honestly look exactly like humans.
Yes,
Strigoi, you can tell that they are different, but the other two, they look like normal people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way they edited that scene, it just looked like she was just like...
those could be people that are after us, but I don't know.
Yeah, it looked like she was just like mugging some dude and stealing his bike. I was like, whoa, you can't do that. That's not cool.
Well, she turned out to be right, but they beat her down and they took the girls back to school. And on their way inside. They get attacked by the Strigoi.
I'm not sure that matters that much.
Low-key it does, just because they see the Strigoi for the first time.
Well, we do. They know what it is.
Anyways, they get to school and, you know, get questioned or whatever for being gone, and they can't really remember. And, yeah, they go to school. Basically, Rose is kind of like a low-key. She likes boys, you know, low-key little hoe. But that's okay.
Who does?
Rose.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, she, like, mentions how, like, she has made out with a few people on campus.
And then...
I've made out with all these guys.
Basically, like...
It's fine, I guess.
Lyssa is of a royal bloodline, the Dragomir bloodline.
She's an important person.
Yes. And then Rose is not.
Yes.
She's just a Dampier. They're like, whatever, throw her in a broom closet.
Yeah.
And all the students at school talk about how did Lyssa feed? Because she drinks blood. But we later kind of realize that when a Maroi drinks a Dampier's blood, it kind of is like...
It's unseemly.
It's like sexual, kind of.
To them, to that setting.
Yeah.
It is a very intimate thing to feed on a person. And to, like, feed on somebody you know is like...
But it feels like really good to the Dampier, basically.
Yeah, they treat it as a near sexual act.
Yeah. So, like, ooh,
yeah.
What did she do? Where did she get it from?
So, Rose is not super well-liked in school. Into like, her face.
She beats people up.
That's true.
It seems like her only real, like, she has, like, two friends. She has Lyssa, and then she has...
That redheaded kid.
Yeah, that's another Dampier.
Yeah.
They talk about how the girls have a bond where Rose can tell what Lyssa is thinking.
It's funny because, like, Rose is not exactly super likable in this either. She beats up random people, or it looks like she beats up random people.
Yeah.
And then, like, she doesn't really try to make friends either. She's just kind of mean to everybody. She beats people up kind of randomly. It's like, she's our protagonist, but, like, she's super unlikable.
She's trying to be, like, not a bad girl, but, like...
She's trying to be tough.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not exactly expressed very well. That's kind of the big problem here.
Yeah. I like that actress, but I just feel like this film, like, she did not do a really good job acting at all.
She looked so plastic and wooden. I was like, oh, this is so boring. There was one standout performance for me from a character who we'll talk about soon, but, like...
Yeah, so Rose isn't liked. I don't even know how her and Lyssa became friends.
That's a good question.
But essentially, they're important together because they have this special bond that nobody else ever really has. And later...
It's a convenient plot device, too. It's super lazy.
Yeah. Later, they find out why they have the bond. But for now, yeah, she goes back to training. They're like, you missed a year. So then Dimitri, another Dampier, but an adult...
Dimitri is Rose's superior.
Yes, and he's teaching her in private to catch up.
He's like the senior bodyguard.
Yeah. Yes.
He's like part of the security at the school.
Yes.
He's an adult. He looks at least 35.
Solid, yeah.
Yeah.
He's really not that cute, like, at all.
Yeah, he's supposed to be our hunky romantic lead.
No. That, do you remember that other security guard that didn't like him?
Yes. Yeah.
He would have been so much better. He's so much cuter. Just like, yeah, I didn't feel the love. I didn't feel the romantic connection between them, though they were trying to push it.
Those actors had no chemistry.
Yeah.
And then to make it worse, like, she's supposed to be, like, 16.
Mm-hmm.
And he is hardcore an adult. Like, this is not, like, something you can, like, object to. He is an adult. He looks at least 35. This is so creepy and uncomfortable. Like, move out of the way, Jamie and Cersei. This is the most uncomfortable romance on screen.
Moving on, Lyssa basically starts getting threats. Like, her ex-boyfriend now has a new girlfriend that's, like, clearly mad at Lyssa for coming back to school and, like, bullying her.
High school drama.
Yeah. Well, like, her parents, the brother, Lyssa, and Rose were all in a car accident. Were a couple years ago. But her parents and her brother died, and Lyssa and Rose didn't. So there's, like, a memorial in the church, and somebody, like, graffitis that and tells her to, like, get out of there. Yeah, so bad things start happening to Lyssa. Like, she's clearly being bullied.
And by the way, this is happening, like, a mile a minute. Like, I was so lost when all this was going on. I had no idea who the Maroi were. I'm pretty sure I asked Casey 3 or 4 times, like, okay, so the Maroi are the half-vampires, right?
No.
Yeah, like, that kind of thing.
Pay attention.
And I'm like, what is going on?
You would get it if it was a Jedi and whatever thing.
I would get it if, like, this was a properly written movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can agree that this is a very poorly written movie.
It is.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
We're good.
Moving on. Lissa bumps into another Maroi, Christian.
Oh, yeah.
From Shadowhunters.
Yeah, he could have been our hunky romantic lead, I thought.
I mean, I feel like they had two going on, obviously, but yes. He was there for Lissa.
Yes.
So, basically, his background is that his parents chose to be Strigoi. Typically, you can either choose to be Strigoi or forced to be Strigoi, but it's something nobody wants to be.
This kid's an outcast, basically.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, when your parents died, they had a funeral, but when mine, like, everybody was like, oh.
But he's treated as, like, the school weirdo.
Yeah.
And so people kind of avoid him. And then when Lissa starts kind of hanging out with him, Rose
they develop feelings.
Yes, because it's a high school movie. We only have so much time,
mm-hmm.
and he's our only romantic lead.
And then Rose, normally upon like whenever she wants, either accidentally or when she wants, she can pop in Lissa's mind and see what she's going through.
She can do it at will. I thought it was like a.
Well, sometimes it happens out of nowhere.
Oh my God.
And then other times at the end, you don't remember. She was like, come on. And she was like sitting down and she had it come on.
Oh.
But she has to focus though.
Oh. See, like, I didn't pick up on that. Mm-hmm. That's how stupid this
movie is. At the beginning, it was out of the blue.
That's how bad this movie is at expressing its own lore. Things are going on and I have no idea that it is.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, Rose finds out what Lissa's special power is because in the school, the Maroi can bend one of the four elements. Water, earth, fire, air.
But Lissa is the Avatar.
Yes. Like, she's able to do all of them technically, but I don't think she can do a lot. She can just do a little. I feel like they all can, but they just have their specialty.
There doesn't seem to be a distinction as far as, like, how powerful the powers are as much as just, like, Lissa's special because she can do all four. That's all we get, really.
Yeah, but ultimately she hasn't claimed her power yet. And they're trying to figure out, like, why...
I have no idea what that means.
Well, she has to claim an element. Well, I don't know. They all have an element.
Is this in the book or is it in the movie?
Both? I don't remember in the book, but in the movie it's, like, Christian, he does fire. But I think... I don't know if
he has fire powers?
Yeah! Christian?
Did he do fire powers?
You don't remember?
No. Like, oh my God. This is a really forgettable movie, as you can
imagine. Let me handle this. So, they all have a specialty.
No, I believe you, but, like, was that, spelled out in
the
movie?
Here's the thing. I just don't... It was at the beginning, whenever she was...
That's what that long monologue was about?
Yes!
Well, that's what I mean. Like, this movie came at me, like, 20 miles an hour.
It was at the very beginning.
Right, and I missed it because I couldn't understand it because I was trying to catch up with who the Strigoi were, who the Maroi were, who the Dampier are.
Uh-huh.
So I got lost.
In the beginning, they said the Maroi...
Don't blame me because the movie's stupid.
Okay. In the beginning, they said that the Maroi have powers, and it's normally one of the four elements.
Right.
Now, I don't know if they can all bend the four elements, but just a teeny tiny bit, and one is their specialty.
Okay.
I don't know. But I know Lissa can do all four, but she can only do a tiny bit. Like, we only see her do a teeny tiny bit. But ultimately, they find out what her power is, which is called spirit. Basically, she can heal something from the brink of death. So
eventually we find this out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Rose finds this out, and that's how they have their bond, because when they were in that car accident, Rose was dying, and it awakened her power, and that's how she was able to save Rose and herself, and they formed that bond. Shadow Kissed is what they call it, which the Saint Vladimir, which is what the school is named after, had that exact same power, which is really, 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 really rare. Once Lissa's power is kind of announced, then it kind of puts her on a radar.
So then there's prom at the high school. They get in their nice dresses and they're having a good time. And then Lissa gets kidnapped. And it turns out our bad guy was somebody that
Victor Dashkov.
Yeah, somebody that they really trusted. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I wonder who could have called that.
They were also like became friends with his daughter too.
Yes.
So basically throughout the film, like somebody, like I was saying before, kept bullying her, kept doing tests, like killing things and leaving notes, and was kind of a mixture of the kids and Victor.
Yes.
But the daughter was like relaying information to him, and that's how they were able to test her and find out that she has that spirit power. And he has like a vampire disease. I don't know if they're like immortal. But they can die like regular people.
They're like in the style of like Lord of the Rings elves, which is to say like they're immortal until they're killed, either by disease or by violence.
Yeah, so I don't know if they live, like, a long time if they never got any disease or whatever. But right. ultimately, this guy's dying, and he wants Lyssa to heal him. Mm-hmm. And she's like, why didn't you just ask me? And he was like, oh, you have to keep healing me. And this power of hers is basically taking a part of her own life's energy is what they call.
It harms Lyssa.
Yeah.
When she uses
it. It's taking a part of herself to give to them.
So, like, when she heals, like, minor wounds, it's okay.
She kind of passes out, though.
Well, if she heals, like, major wounds, she passes out, right?
It depends.
So, like, if she heals, like, a scratch, it's probably okay. But, like,
if she just feels a little woozy.
But, like, but that's it. If she heals, like, somebody who's, like, been in a car wreck, it's bad news for her. Mm-hmm. She'll pass out for sure. Mm-hmm. So, it leaves her pretty helpless.
Yeah. So, he kidnapped her, Rose and Dimitri and Christian.
Rose finds her inappropriate boyfriend, Dimitri.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, before this. He was keeping Rose distracted because, again, they have that bond.
Yeah.
And she was wearing, apparently, some love potion necklace.
Yeah. Some necklace with a charm on it. Enchantment. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. It's, like, that raised a question for me is, like, are there witches? How do they come up with a love potion?
Vampires have magic, too. Shut up.
I guess it could be more. I don't know. Anyways, it keeps them distracted for a few minutes, basically.
Long enough to get away.
Yeah.
Because Dimitri and what's-her-face,
Rose,
start making out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. Like, I think I was verbally actually saying this. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. But then they did.
And then Dimitri rips the necklace off, and he was like, oh, a love potion. Or a love spell.
Yeah, something like that.
And then she was like, oh, Lyssa's in trouble. We gotta go. So they're on their way. She uses her bond thing to find them. They get over there. They get Lyssa out. And then there's some hellhounds that Victor Dashkov unleashes on them. And then Christian takes them out with his firepower that you somehow missed.
Oh, yeah. That's when he used it. I remember that scene. Oh, yeah.
He also used it in the classroom, too.
I don't remember. Oh, did he? Yes. He did. Mm-hmm. He burned the note.
He burned the note and he burnt the kid, but it didn't leave any marks.
Yeah. Okay, I remember that, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyways, they head back, they put Victor in jail, and then...
Things look okay.
Yeah. Seems up and up.
And for some reason, Rose feels a need to speak with Victor. Mm-hmm. I'm a little unclear as to why.
Oh, because he said he wanted to talk to her about Shadowkissed.
Yeah, but then, here's what's weird. He's a prisoner. And they just kind of let this teenager just go.
Well, he was locked up, though.
But, like, why would they let her? Well, you can't do that. Like, I can't go.
Okay, well, this is a vampire school. This was a jail and a vampire school, high school. So, I mean.
But why are their security measures against much more dangerous criminals more lax than our security measures? And we're freaking humans, man.
Anyways.
That's what I mean. Like, this world is not really portrayed as very consistent as far as, like, this is not how a person under security would act. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is an easy fix. Just have Dimitri go with her and say, like, hey, I'm not supposed to do this, but hey, you have 5 minutes so you can, like, answer your questions. Boom, there you go. Like, I just fixed it. You're welcome.
She's tough. She wants to be a strong, independent woman that don't need no man. Yeah. So she goes down there and he explains to her that whenever, again, like I said, what happened in the wreck and when she saved her, that's how she became Shadowkissed. And then behind her, his daughter, her friend, shows up and now she's Strigoi.
Oh my God. And I think she's wearing her prom dress still.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my God, you let your own daughter turn Strigoi? She was like, I'd do anything for my daddy.
Yeah, and they kind of gave it away. Part of the reason why I knew, like, she was probably a villain was because, like, she's acting so nice. She's also one of the few people on the cast who's actually a named celebrity. Mm-hmm. I think what's her name?
Sarah Hyland.
Yeah, Sarah Hyland. She's played by Sarah Hyland, and I was like, oh, Sarah Hyland is in this movie. She's probably has some kind of role to play, not just some nothing. So when that happened, I was like, aha, something's going on with her.
Yeah, so she turns Strigoi, which... To turn to Strigoi, all you have to do is just kill a Maroi, and that's how you become one.
Do you have to drink their blood or something?
I don't know. Huh. The scene just showed her killing them.
Man, this movie wants to pretend that it has a deep lore, but then it never really lets you into, like,
it seems extremely easy to become one. Obviously, you're taking a life, but, like, it just seems like it doesn't take time. You know what I mean?
It just seems, like, wishy-washy. She's a Strigoi because we need a Strigoi villain right now. The movie needs it, so here she is.
Yeah. So Victor tries to escape. Dimitri comes down and he...
Conveniently, for some reason.
Yeah, he knocks him out. And then...
There's a fight.
Rose and...
Sarah Hyland have a fight.
Yeah. And ultimately, her and Dimitri take her down.
Eventually.
Yeah. And they kill her because they kind of have to. And then... Yeah. Yeah. Then everything's okay, seemingly. And then we kind of end with...
Dimitri and Rose have a bad romantic scene. And it's still inappropriate. And, ugh, God, I'm so tired.
Yeah. And then, again, this is where I thought, like, they had kind of ended, like, on a quote-unquote good note. Like, didn't leave anything open. But at the very end, you see a ton of Strigoi.
Led by Her Majesty, Claire Foy.
Mm-hmm. Which she played a teacher. We forgot to mention her. She played a teacher in the show. She was the one that told Rose to leave the school and erased her memory until it was time to remember. And she had turned Strigoi because she had the same power as Lyssa.
It doesn't matter. She's kind of set them on the quest. But, like, unbeknownst to her, whatever.
I guess the only important thing to mention was just that because she had the same power as Lyssa, she kind of was drove crazy by it. Because it kind of drives you a little nuts when you use it too much.
Oh.
So that's why...
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
When you use it, because she had the scratches on herself.
Right.
And she got really tired, so that's why she turned herself Strigoi, because she had nobody to, like, keep her...
Sane?
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's
a fun... She
wanted
the pain to go away.
That's a fun cost-benefit kind of thing. Like, I can't do this many times, otherwise I'm going to go crazy. But I need to do this because I need to protect my friend. Like, that's a great little cost-benefit thing. It would have been great if they'd shown hints of that in this movie for her...
Not
in ways that matter.
Well, when they mentioned Saint Vladimir at the end, they said that Saint Vladimir never even thought of going Strigoi because he had his shadow-kissed friend with him. That's why he never thought going that way. And that's why Rose shadow-kissed by Lyssa, but then Miss Karp, the teacher, Claire Foy, she had no one.
Wait, I thought Rose is the one who's supposed to go Strigoi because she's going crazy.
No. Lyssa's going Strigoi. She's the one with the powers.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here you go. There's the end.
Cool.
Now let me talk about why I don't like this movie.
we don't like this movie. This movie's terrible.
Yes, you're right. So, here's the thing. The Moroi, they talk about how the sunlight annoys them, but doesn't kill them. And in the movie, we see them wear sunglasses, use an umbrella, if they have to go out during the sunlight because their classes are at nighttime when there's no sun.
I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
But then there's times we see the Moroi go outside, that nothing happens to their skin, it doesn't even look like it annoys them.
Right.
And I just feel like they really should have made it seem like it actually does.
They should have had more flavor to that.
Like, but they definitely forgot, though.
Have her... Yeah, because, like, it wasn't in the budget, I guess. Just have, like, the characters walk out and, like, have their skin kind of singed. Like, if they stay out, if they just get exposed to sunlight, something like that. Have them, like, hiss a bit, be like, ugh, it's so bright outside. Even though maybe it's, like, really cloudy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's daytime, you know, whatever, vampires. Those kinds of little things that, like... you have in your movie to kind of build your universe, because this setting is actually sounds very rich. There's lots of little things, lots of little details to work with, but the problem is that it's not really expressed or portrayed in a way that is helpful to either for people to absorb or in a way that is just kind of helpful to the plot either. As a result, we're just kind of bored.
Yeah.
By all this really cool information.
Yeah, so I feel like they just forgot sometimes in the film when they just let the vampires just go out there with no covering, whatever. And then the Dompiers, I had to Google to make sure. I knew the Dompiers were half vampire, half human, and they mentioned in the movie that their sole purpose is essentially to be bodyguards to the Moroi.
Yes.
And their training is, like, fighting and all things like that, but they seem like regular humans, regular strength. But I Googled, and they said that they're, like, superhuman. They're a bit stronger. They're a bit faster. But it doesn't seem that way in the show.
In the movie, never...
In the movie, yeah.
The movie never really portrays the Dompier as being particularly superhuman.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, if they had just said, oh, it's Lyssa and Rose, her human bodyguard, I would have believed the movie when they said that. Because she doesn't do anything particularly superhuman. She doesn't lift anything heavy. She doesn't really jump any vast distance. She doesn't really travel very fast. She just has that one power going on, which
But that's not part of being a Dampir. That's just because Lyssa saved her.
Which, that just could have been some human doing that, in theory. But yeah, that's the problem. If they wanted to have superhuman vampire, half-vampire shenanigans going on, they should have, you know, shown half-human, half-vampire shenanigans going on.
Yeah.
But they never do. They didn't even try. They just kind of give up on that part of the plot.
And then the Strigoi, we only see them, like, 3 or 4 times?
A handful of times. And they're just portrayed as wildly strong, and they're just there to be killed.
Like, yeah, they're not important. They mention them.
Yeah.
But they're just like, those are the scary men in your bad dreams. And
they're treated like boogeymen.
Yes. And, like, I also question, like, at the beginning of the movie when the Strigoi come out outside of the gate, what's keeping them from going inside? Like, is there some specialized gate that's gonna burn them? I don't see why they just can't jump over it.
You're thinking too much.
Because then I would say that they should just live in Alaska where it's like daylight majority of the time.
That's true. That would, see, that'd be kind of clever. Mm-hmm. And then like for like 3 or 4 months out of the year, they move to like South America or something.
Maybe.
There you go.
Or like maybe their summer is when it's dark. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's my dislikes. What will we change? Or do you have something else that you didn't really like?
I mean, I definitely already expressed my disgust at the romance. I would also say that this is once again a movie that suffers from the fact that this is a book being adapted into a movie. When in fact, like, it probably would have done a lot better as a show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and even just 6 or 7 episodes. 8 if we really even have to do it like that. Just a few episodes where, like, you can just stretch all this information out so you can actually have scenes where we process everything, where we can get all this information where it's shown to us, not explained to us. Because a lot of this information truly is just narrated by Rose, like, in a voiceover over scenes going on in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which can be okay to an extent, and to an extent is still effective at, like, informing us as to what's going on as far as what the powers are, but it also takes away from time in the plot, and time away from, like, well, the drama of the show. Which, if we're not thinking about, you know, the characters and their relationships of the characters that they have amongst each other and their conflicts, then we're not developing connections to it. And if we're not doing that, then your show's gonna suffer. Because part of the reason why we care about basically any show is because we care about the characters. If you can't get us on board with the characters, then why should I keep watching? So, yeah. And like I said, I do think this universe is actually very rich with, like, all kinds of neat ideas, but they just need to, you know, be, like, a little more deliberate and careful with, like, how they're show anything, because this just seems to be thrown up consistently in our faces.
Yeah, so I think you're right. It should have been developed into a TV show, and then again with the make it more realistic, like who's what vampire, you can tell the difference, and yeah, not just them look like humans.
See, what I would have done is like make, say, the Moroi, they're like, they're just the regular vampires that are just full vampires, make them a shade more pale.
Well, the Strigoi are really pale and red eyes.
Right, but they just have like the Moroi. Yeah. Have them just look like pale humans. I think there's lots of little things you could do. You could change eye colors. You could like,
yeah,
just like, do some things to kind of distinguish all our groups of vampires from each other.
I think the Strigoi, because they're already super, super pale, they already have red eyes in the film. Mm-hmm. We could make them Roy because they're already quote-unquote special. You have them like the super pretty eye colors that everybody always says, blue and green and whatnot. And then the Dampir, because they're mixed, they have
more mundane colors.
Yeah. So in that sense, you can see the difference. And then again, like the paleness of the regular vampires, like not as pale as Strigoi.
Well, just do an extra shade.
Super white.
Because like Dampir basically look human. And it might be fun if just like a Moroi, if they were speaking to like a regular human, might look just sickly pale.
Mm-hmm.
And just be like, oh, hey, are you okay?
Or like, you need to get some sun.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing. What would be fun is that if like they clearly dress differently. As in, like, say the Moroi clearly, like to wear sleeves because they might be out in the sunlight and they don't want to expose their skin to the sunlight.
Mm.
And say they're always carrying an umbrella and they're always carrying, like, sunglasses.
Or, like the different significance in the school where, like, you have they have special uniform for them and then a special combat uniform for the Dampir, because that's what they're doing all the time.
It's true. That's kind of what their exclusive purpose is. So it would kind of make sense if they're kind of most of the time wearing, like, a battle dress uniform or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A BDU. But yeah, this movie like missed a lot of opportunities to just kind of like add flavor to the proceedings. Mm-hmm. It just seems to be very flat all the time. Like, the school is just a school. The uniform is just uniforms. Everybody's uniform just looks the same.
Like, I understand, like, kind of like in other vampire shows or movies, like, for example, Twilight, you have, they sparkle in the sun, and they're kind, they're very obviously pale, and what?
I'll say that, that's true. They make it very clear that they look very different.
There's, like, Vampire Diaries, which they look exactly like humans, but they're not trying to make them look different. Like, in this movie, it's clear that there's a Moroi, and there's a Dampier, and then there's a Strigoi, and over there it's just, like, just vampires and humans. I feel like it's acceptable there.
I think it depends on what you're trying to achieve. Like, for Vampire Diaries, a big part of that universe, generally, is just the fact that they're just incognito. They have to stay hidden or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes sense that, like, the vampires who survived are the ones who look the most like humans. Fair enough. Fair play. In Twilight, it's a fun little mechanic that they do the sparkling, and they do the whole, we live in Seattle or whatever. Or in
they live in an overcast city.
Right, right, right. In this setting, I think it's a big problem, the fact that we can't distinguish our vampires between each other, because so much of the universe is built upon those relationships between those three versions of vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. That's why Avatar, the Last Airbender, like, the show does this so well. They're stereotyping their own types of characters, but, like, firebenders wear red, waterbenders usually wear blues and stuff like that, earthbenders wear greens and browns, and airbenders kind of wear kind of autumn colors.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's a bit of a simple way to do it, but, like, it's a very effective way to really make sure that we all know, oh, that's a that person, that's a that person. And they could have done that kind of thing so that we could just visually very almost instantly be like, oh, Moroi, oh, Dampier, oh, Strigoi, like that kind of thing. But this movie just like thinks of all the good ideas and just like, you know what, this is too good of an idea. Never mind, we can't do that.
Yeah. So ultimately, obviously, we want them to just make them look significantly different in one way or another. And then better acting.
Recast everybody. Everybody.
Yeah. Make it a TV show.
Except for maybe Sarah Hyland. She was all right. That's the one effective performer that I thought was pretty good.
Lissa was fine, but I also feel like she could have been better, like, acting-wise.
And if Sarah
Hyland... And, like, I like Zoe, the one that plays Rose, but, like, she did not do a great acting job in this movie.
Then again, if everybody really did get recast, I could live with that. That's fine.
Yeah. So that's kind of our fixes. I mean, it's a good universe. It has a good idea. They really didn't express it correctly, and it made it really bad.
Yeah, it sucks. I this is stupid. Don't watch this.
Yeah. So, but if you want to watch it, it's on Netflix.
It is.
Yes.
If you want to experience our pain.
As always.
Yay.
So what would you recommend, something good for people to watch?
Okay, if you want to watch a good vampire movie, tell you what, watch Blade. It came out in 1997, starring Wesley Snipes, and it is one of the single most fun action movies I've ever seen in my life. It is super fun. It is ridiculous, but it's super fun. And it doesn't pretend to be anything that it's not. It's not a dumb action movie, because that action is actually pretty fun and good and well, like, shot. But it's also not the deepest movie ever. But it also doesn't pretend to be very deep either, so.
I'll take your word for it, because I haven't seen it.
You should totally watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then next week, we're still trying to kind of figure out what we're going to do.
Yes, we are.
But it'll be exciting either way.
Yes.
But it is going to be a special episode.
Yes, it will.
We are finally doing our very first 50-50 episode.
Where one of us likes it and the other one doesn't.
Which it'll probably be where I like it and David doesn't, because that's where we're at right now.
Right.
But there's one that I really want to do, but he's not mentally prepared for it yet. So we got to find something else. But you'll know when that time comes. But
one day.
Instead of the celebration episode, we're finally doing the 50-50, so yes. I think you should definitely stay tuned for that, because I think it's going to be really freaking funny, because we're going to be arguing each other's heads off.
And you can enjoy my pain.
Or mine.
Hooray! Huzzah!
Yes. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye.